Revolution in America isn't about violent overthrow, it's about strategic transformation from within. Unlike revolutionaries of the past, modern changemakers face a unique challenge, working inside the system while fundamentally altering it. The key battleground? America's middle class, over 70 million people who could either become allies or obstacles to progressive change. Young activists often sabotage themselves through impatience, wanting to skip straight to dramatic confrontation without doing the tedious groundwork of organizing. They fail to understand that meaningful change requires building power methodically. The alternatives, empty rhetoric about burning it down or counterproductive violence, only alienate potential supporters and strengthen reactionary forces. History teaches us that revolution requires preceding reformation. People need bridges from familiar experience to new ways. As John Adams wrote, the revolution was in the hearts and minds of the people. The real American Revolution happened before the first shot was fired. When student activists were disillusioned after the 1968 Democratic Convention violence, they received disadvice. Do one of three things. 1. Find a wailing wall. 2. Go psycho and start bombing, but this will only swing people right. 3. Learn a lesson. Go home, organize, build power, and be the delegates next time. Democracy isn't a spectator sport. It requires citizens' ongoing engagement in shaping society. When people disconnect from their civic power, apathy and deterioration follow. The revolutionary's task is reconnecting people with their ability to transform their communities. What guides an organizer working for social change? Unlike dogmatic movements with fixed truths, the effective organizer is a political relativist who sees truth as evolving. They embrace what Justice Learned Hand called an ever-gnawing inner uncertainty, questioning with irreverence and curiosity. This doesn't mean lacking conviction. Freedom from dogma enables flexibility in responding to changing conditions. The organizer fundamentally believes that people with power to act will generally make right decisions. To understand change politics, we must see the world as it is, an arena where self-interest dominates and morality often serves as justification. Here, right things happen for wrong reasons. Society divides into the haves, with power, have-nots, powerless, and have-a-little, want-mores, middle class. From this contradictory middle class emerged revolutionary leaders like Moses, Luther, Jefferson, and Gandhi, split personalities desiring change yet fearing loss. Change requires friction and conflict, approached with optimism. Like mountain climbing with no summit in sight, we continue upward because the alternative is a dreamless existence. The tension between idealistic principles and practical necessity in activism reveals 10 historical insights about revolutionary ethics. First, ethical concerns increase with available options. A starving person stealing food acts from necessity, while resistance movements with limited resources often employ otherwise objectionable tactics. Second, major societal transformations require compromises that minor reforms don't. Third, history judges actions based on outcome. Traitor versus founding father depends on who prevails. Fourth, timing affects ethical judgment. Actions during imminent defeat are viewed differently than during assured victory, as with Hiroshima. Fifth, opponents routinely condemn effective means. British forces criticized Francis Marion's guerrilla tactics as ungentlemanly, though conventional militaries later adopted similar approaches. Sixth, pragmatic leaders use what works and clothe it with moral garments. Gandhi's passive resistance wasn't purely moral. It was the most effective option against British power. The pragmatic revolutionary understands moral judgments are relative and often determined by power, requiring flexibility within reasonable bounds rather than ethical abandonment. Politics has twisted words like power, self-interest, compromise, and conflict into seemingly evil concepts, revealing our political illiteracy. Euphemisms dilute meaning, creating a sanitized version of reality. Lord Acton actually said, "Power tends to corrupt, not power corrupts." The corruption resides in ourselves, not power itself. Power is life's essence, the heart pumping blood, citizens uniting for purpose. It both destroys and preserves life. Self-interest isn't mere selfishness. The myth of altruism as our primary motivator could only emerge in a society steeped in Puritan morality. Throughout history, self-interest has been recognized as humanity's fundamental driver. Compromise isn't weakness, but achievement, making the deal, securing that vital breather. Starting with nothing and gaining 30% means you're 30% ahead. Conflict, though maligned by religious rhetoric and consensus culture, remains democracy's essential core, a harmony of dissonance as citizens resolve differences. What makes an effective organizer? Beyond technical skills, certain qualities define successful movement builders. Boundless curiosity that questions accepted patterns. People asking why are beginning to rebel. Irreverence toward dogma while maintaining reverence for life's meaning, favoring free inquiry over rigid ideology. Imagination that fuels both motivation and tactics, enabling empathy with suffering. A sense of humor, essential for sanity and understanding contradictions, with satire becoming a weapon against power. A blurred vision of a better world to sustain through monotonous work. An organized personality functioning amid chaos, accepting that, with rare exceptions, the right things are done for the wrong reasons. A political schizoid nature, able to polarize issues while recognizing real differences might be minimal. A monumental ego with unreserved confidence. With this strength, he is a doer and does, without thoughts of quitting. Unlike leaders building power for themselves, organizers create power for others, a fundamental distinction shaping all they do. Power tactics follow fundamental rules. Power includes what enemies perceive you have. Stay within your people's experience while pushing enemies outside theirs to create confusion. Make enemies follow their own rules. They can't, which destroys them. Ridicule is humanity's most potent weapon, as it's nearly impossible to counter. Use tactics your people enjoy, keeping them fresh and varied to maintain pressure. Threats often terrify more than actions. The enemy's reaction becomes your strength when provoked. In complex societies, identify specific, personified targets rather than abstract entities. Responsibility often shifts between jurisdictions, evading accountability. Once targets are chosen, polarize completely. Leaders might privately see nuance, but publicly must present their cause as entirely right. Humanizing targets undermines your position. Timing is crucial. Never let conflict drag on too long. People can sustain emotional energy in challenging situations only briefly before interest wanes. America's activism future depends on mobilizing the middle class, where true power resides. With 3/4 of Americans identifying as middle class, their collective action is essential for meaningful change. Even unified low-income populations lack sufficient influence without middle-class allies. Activists must build bridges to the middle class they've often dismissed. The lower middle class, hard hats, police, firefighters, teachers, civil servants, have struggled their entire lives for modest gains amid economic insecurity. We must engage them respectfully or lose them by default. The suburban middle class has achieved the American dream only to find it hollow. Radicals must reach these disenchanted Americans with practical hope. This revolution requires corporations to abandon the notion of separate private sectors. Every entity has a commitment to national welfare. This second American revolution needs meaning, a cause to live for and, if need be, die for. When Americans can no longer see the stars, the times are tragic. Yet this darkness likely precedes a dawn of reclaimed collective power.